He don't need a long time. He doesn't need a long time. He just needs a heart that is willing and obedient. And he'll make up the time. I said he'll make up the time. He'll make it up, Jack. And he's proven it. He likes to show off. God likes to show off. And to introduce this message today, you know, what was Jack doing? He was exalting his father. His father, not his earthly father. Thank God for earthly dads and moms and mothers. But we have one Father in heaven who loves us all so much that he wouldn't leave us in the mess that we were in. And that's who we're going to talk about today. But before we start, I'd like to personally dedicate this service to my brother, Jack Jackson Jr., his wife, Dolly, their daughter, Haley, because God's going to show himself mightily, not just to them, but to all those that will truly believe in him, trust him, magnify him, walk with him, talk with him. He is there. And he is there. We have a promise that when we do that, when we submit to him and walk with him and talk with him, he will manifest. The word means he will reveal. He will show up in your life in a tangible way that you know he is real. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. He did it for me. He did it for me. We're going to talk about our good, good Father. No, you didn't hear me. I said we're going to talk about our good, good Father. I like those qualifiers. I don't think that's the right English. I think that would be a adjective. Is that an adjective? Good, good Father. If you'll turn with me to the book of James, I don't have a lot of scriptures. Well, I've got some, but I'm going to quote, maybe not get you to turn there, but we're going to read James chapter 1. I'll read. You read along with me. If you don't have a Bible, we got Bibles in front of the pews. If you need a Bible, you let us know, because we got some over here in the Word Supply, and we're going to make sure if you come in here and you don't have the Word, we're going to get the Word to you. Amen, because the whole world needs this word, needs these promises. James 1 says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, or I like to say endurance. That word patience means endurance. But let endurance have its perfect work. What did Jack say? Go. See, endurance means when the test comes, you're going to go to the Word. You're going to go to Jesus. You're going to go and you're going to stand against this. Patient ain't just sitting there waiting. It's doing something. It's what you've got on the inside. You've got to get it on the outside. You've got to say about, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my strength. Psalms 91. He is my high tower. I run in there and I am safe. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And we're going to go to Proverbs. We're going to go to the book of wisdom. Because you're going to find wisdom from God. Who gives to all liberally and without reproach. And it will be given to him. Will be. But let him ask in faith. Here's the qualifier. That you're going to receive this wisdom from God. You've got to ask in faith, believing first that he is. God is. He is the I am. And also he is a rewarder of what you're asking. He's going to reward you with wisdom. Whatever you're asking, he's going to give it to you. Not doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man, if you're in doubt, not truly believing, don't let that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man. James is just saying you got to be single-minded in faith. Faith has to be single-minded. I believe it even though I don't see it. You got to stay focused on that. I don't understand all this. I don't understand these trials. What's going on here? You don't have to understand it. Just believe that Jesus said, I'm going to be with you. He was with the children in the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Not only was he with them in the fire, he got them out of the fire. And not only were they in the fire, they didn't even come out smelling like smoke. But they said something before they went into the fiery furnace. They said, King, whether you put us in the fire or you leave us out, we're not bowing down to your rules. We're going to worship God and Him only. Jesus said, Satan said, if you'll just bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. Jesus said, it's written. That's what these Hebrew boys said. It's written. I serve one God, Jehovah. And Him only will I worship. That'll get you out of life trials real quick. Is worshiping and following God. And that's what will keep you single-minded. Verse 9, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation. Because as a flower, now don't think, when I'm speaking about these verses, I'm just receiving this now. A lot of times I think about this, but as a flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. The flower fails and its beautiful appearance perishes, so the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Why don't we just look at that in another perspective? When the testing and trial is coming, if you stand in faith, it'll wither away that quick. See, we always think about, you know, my life here, I'm just a vapor and all these things. You know, as the sun coming up, it's just going to be gone like that. But also, that testing, that trial. If you put your faith and stay single-minded, you'll walk through it and not even know you've been there. Go through the fire and come out not even smelling like smoke, because Jesus is right there in the midst with you. And He's already given us a way out. It's in His Word. It's in the Scriptures. Now, if I got the Word in me, I can help you. But if I don't have the Word of God in me, I'm not going to help you. I'm going to get burned. Verse 9, verse 11, for verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, and God's not approving you because this mighty test and trial, it's not coming from Him. He's approving you because you're in faith. You're trusting Him. He will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Let no one say when he's tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. You need to highlight that in your Bible. Yes. You need to make a footnote at it in your Bible. And then you need to take it and you need to put it in your heart, because God will not tempt you or test you with evil. He's a good, good Father. And if you don't read that and study that and let Him reveal that to you, I would rather have God's opinion than man's opinion, because man's opinion is wrong if it's not lining up to this Word of God and it's not inspired and witnessed by the Holy Ghost. Because you can have somebody that says they're a preacher, quote this Word, but not live this Word, or be born again, just stand up here and get a paycheck and say, call himself a preacher. We serve God by serving others. And Jesus said, you'll know your brothers and sisters by the love that they have. Not by what they say, but what they do as they go and do and show the works of love. Amen. 14, but each one is tempted. We're tempted by this evil. We fall into these testing and trials when I am drawn away by my own desires. Verse 14, and enticed. But see, don't stop there. Because see, you can be being tempted is not sin. It's going to come. The devil's going to come to try to knock you down. He's trying to come and steal, kill, and destroy. He wants us out of here. But when that temptation and desire comes, that's not sin. 15 says, but when the desire has conceived, when you act on that evil thought, that evil plan, that's not coming from God, then that gives birth to sin. But you still got a way out. Turn. Repent. Abort it. Abort that conception of evil thought. Because if you don't, the next step, and sin, when it is full grown, see, there's a time there, it brings forth death. Now, we're just not talking about physical death, which it can. We're talking about depression, fear. All those are forms of death. from the same, they come all come from death. Lack, doubts, it's all coming from death, not from life. James says in verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good, say good. Good gift. And every perfect gift is from above. From above. And comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He will never turn from good. He will never turn good away from you. All we have to do is turn from evil, turn from sin, and turn to God. That's called repent. That's what repent means. It means to change what I'm thinking of God to what I'm going to know of God. Lord, you said you're a good, good Father. I need to know that. And when you ask, He will deliver. He will show. He sent us Jesus to show us His heart. But some never received Him. But He kept on saying, God is good. Take what you have and give to somebody else. He took the same message his brother, his cousin John the Baptist had. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is here. Change your way of thinking. There's something new. There's a new day. There's a new covenant. Life is here. The light of the world is here. Verse 18, of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So then, my brethren, James is saying, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Your words, we speak life or we speak death. That's why we need to be swift to hear. That's what wisdom does. I want to hear, Lord, what are you saying? What do I need to do here? Lord, you're a good, good Father, but it don't seem like things are working right in my life. I need your help. And as a dad, as a parent, all I need is my kids to come to me and ask for help. Just ask. For the wrath of man, because getting angry with not understanding is not going to, it's not going to get you out of the fire. It's going to keep you in there, because it says, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Here we go, Jack. This is why you shared your testimony. But be doers, be goers of the word. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Not hearers only. Deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man that he goes and observes his natural face in the mirror and observes himself, knows what he looks like, and goes away, and immediately he forgets what kind of man he was. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you hear yourself take this word, when that test and that trial comes, and you say, I will not be moved. I am, no weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. I am the head and not the tail. You're hearing faith, and you're speaking it, and you're declaring it. You're being a doer of the word. It's not like you go out here and stand in the pulpit and preach. No, you're standing on what you know to believe, that wisdom of God that He has given you. And you stand and you declare, like a king that you are and a priest that you are, that my God is greater. He's greater. And when you do that, it brings the manifestation. It brings victory into your life. It brings angels working that you cannot see, working out things. They hearken to God's voice. They keep your kids out of trouble, out of danger. They're there to protect. Verse 23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man looking in that mirror, and he forgets what kind of man he was. Verse 25, but he, this is you, this is God's people, God's sons and daughters that believe and trust. For he who looks into the perfect law, what is the perfect law of liberty? God's word. God's word. Love. Yes, love. God is love. If you look to love and continue in love, and not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work of love, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue and deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. In other words, James is saying, go out and do what you know to do. Go help somebody. Jesus did not go through the Gospels and write and tell everybody, I'm Jesus, I love you, I love you. I love you, James, I love you, Peter. No, he went out and he showed them. When he went to Peter's house and got invited in and his mother-in-law was sick, Jesus healed her, raised her up, and she got up and served the Lord. See, love brings you something, gives you something. It gives you life. It gives you hope. It gives you strength. That's what Jesus did. He went about doing good. He went about doing good. Because he came from a good, good father. And if you and your goodness is not going to get you to heaven. It's Christ's goodness, his righteousness, his blood that gets us to heaven. All my goodness is filthy rags before God because I was a sinner man. I was dead in this world. I was conceived in sin because of the curse that was in the earth. But Jesus loved me so much that he said, I'll take that sin. I'll take that curse. Robert, come to me, my son. Your life has just begun. Because for you, my son, I gave you life. A race you did not have to run. That's what Christ did for me. He showed me how much God loved me. Let's turn to the book of Proverbs. You can be there. I'm not going to minister each one of these because I want to tell you a little. I think I've told you this testimony, but I think I need to tell you a little bit more as the Lord would have me to share. Proverbs 1, verse 8 is where I'll start. But trust me, I did this, and you can do it if you got a word search. If you do a search on the words, my son, just in the book of Proverbs, 67 times, just in the book of Proverbs. I think I did it in the Old Testament, and it was about 500 occurrences in the Old Testament, my son. Now, if you're a daughter, put your name in there, because see, Adam is male and female in the beginning. Sons and daughters came from Adam. Just because God says, my son, he doesn't say, my daughter, that doesn't leave you out. Because, see, when God speaks, he speaks to all mankind. We're his family. He's speaking to his kids. But you know what I see? He speaks to the son because that is the headship. My son. My son. Fathers, I'm speaking to you today. God's speaking to you today. He's still got a work he needs us to do on this earth is to protect this earth. Protect the family. Protect his family on this earth. And my brother served, he was in the Sheriff's Department, Mooresville Police Department. He's a volunteer fire department, retired 20 years there. He knows how to protect people. He knows how to serve people. I wasn't able to share this just because of time restraints for their service, but you know, me and Sherry, we're the babies of our family. I'm 51 years old now, but there's just two sons. My mother had two sons, my brother and me. And my brother's got about 7 years on me, but he had children before I did. Me and Sherry, we're 7 years difference. We're still out here going to ball games, just enjoying what single husband and wife do. But we were looking at family. And when he had Chris, that was something new, something different that wasn't around my brother when we went to visit at their house. And when I went there and I saw him lay with his son and play with his son, I saw the smile, the joy that was on his face of being a father that he had never been before. You know what it did? It made me start turning to, I want that. I want to have some of that in my life. It's addictive. Family, fathers, children. The Bible says when you get children, they're a gift from God. They're a good thing. A wife is a good thing. Children are a good thing. But I saw that, and we didn't have children, and me and my brother, we did football. But when Chris started out to the rec park doing baseball, you know, we were just working. After our enjoyment, we would go just hang out with friends, but it wasn't family. So we started just We wanted to go out and see Chris. They invited us to go watch Chris. We started watching Chris play baseball, direct department, and playing the football games. And see, it was pulling me to, there's something better in life than just me and what I want to do. God wants you to have a family. Now, I'm saying if you don't have kids, you know what? There's a lot of hurting sons and daughters out here that don't have a good family that could use your support, use your words of kindness. But that word, my son, appears 67 times in the book of Proverbs. This is the book. This is the place where my Father in heaven established a father-son relationship with me when I got born again. Me and Sherry went down to the beach maybe 6 months to a year after we were born again, maybe a couple years. We were new in the Lord. We were just believing God for everything. Because, see, everything I had in the world meant nothing to me compared to my relationship now that I have with God. And we was doing all that we could to learn, absorb as much as we could in the Word. We went down to the beach. We didn't have a lot of money. We went to one of these timeshares because they'll give you 3 days, 2 nights, but you got to listen to their presentation. But you know what? We knew how to say no. I didn't know how to say that before I was lost in the world. You know, it's like I got a credit card. I'll say yes to that. I want that. But then now I got some wisdom. I started asking God, I need out of this stuff. And he said, say no, but go. Go, but say no. And we went down there and just had a wonderful time. And I was believing God back then for every little thing. I said, Lord, I don't like these glasses. Don't want to wear these glasses. So I took them off. And by faith, drove my family to the beach. It was blurry. It was a blurry trip. Wasn't a lot of people on the road. But I stayed. My wife, she made sure I stayed between the lines and just thanking God, believing God, trusting God. And when we got down there and got settled, got into our room, I remember we went out to Sherry's, my mother-in-law used to love to go out and get the cantaloupes from the garden, from the little stands out there. And we went, and so we're looking through some produce. And like I said, I don't have my glasses on. And I noticed something in that little place, that little side place on the road. There was a plaque, and it said, Jesus. I could see it. Like my eyes, like I didn't have glasses. I was drew to that. And I've got that plaque sitting upstairs in my office right now. Jesus. And it's about that big. See, if it had been small, I might not could have seen it because of my eyes. But I saw it. It was real good and big. And I said, that's what I want right there. Bought that. But then we went back to the room. And I don't know how, first day, second day. We're staying at the Royal Garden down there at Garden City. We're way high up there. And this place at night, when it's lit up, you know how we found our motel the first night? It was purple from top to bottom. It's called the Royal Garden. Big light. You could see it from miles away. I said, man, there's our place right there. Purple means royalty. And God put us in a nice place. Didn't have no money. Didn't have. We believe in God. We were in debt, brother. But got up there, and I go to my usual place in the morning. I'm sitting in the men's room, ladies' room. But I'm reading. I'm in the book of Proverbs. I'm sure it's Proverbs 1:8. I read it. But this wasn't the first time I'd been in the book of Proverbs. And it said, my son, hear the instructions of your father. See, my dad never had time for his family. He had time for family. It was just the wrong family. It was his buddies, his drinking buddies, all these buddies, but his family. But God seen the day that I'd be down at Myrtle Beach. He saw the day I'd be home on my couch, reaching out by faith to a God I couldn't see, but I believed he was real. Through all the tragedy and mess I was, he was always there, and he was always had family praying. Just hadn't made the direct connect to it yet. But he knew I had time. My son, hear the instructions of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Proverbs 10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. This is wisdom speaking. Verse 15 through 16, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil. What's James saying? Evil. God's not bringing you evil. Your these other people that are evil, God's saying, run away from it. Walk away from it. Keep your foot from it, for their feet run to evil, but my son, run to me. See, I heard that. Run to me. That's what I did. I ran to Jesus that day in my home, in my bed of sickness and pain and sin and death. I was dead to sin. And I spoke that word. I believed that Jesus was my Lord and Savior, and I asked him for help. Come in. I didn't repent of all my sin. I just said, Lord, I believe that you are Christ. I need you as my Lord and Savior. And just believed it by faith and got invited to church and got set free to the house of God, to a man of God that was ministering the word of God and deliverance, and Jesus set me free. The power of his word set me free, and that same power is available to anyone that will by faith reach out and say, Lord, I want to be free. But see, you got to know God is good and he's not your enemy, because he can't lie if you're thinking that evil's coming from him. How can he set you free? You got to believe that he is the good, good Father. And all you say, I believe. Lord, help my unbelief sometimes, but I believe. And boom, the chain, he breaks that chain by his mighty power, that the blood of Jesus will set you free. We overcome by that blood. And by the word of our testimony, I believe in this blood. I believe in your word, Father. And his power has been released, and I got set free. I wasn't free from everything, but I was free from a lot of stuff that had me bound. And we kept chasing after God. And I remember, I was in the bathroom and I was reading. That's how God, I built my relationship. He built that Father-Son relationship with me. Jesus said, what you give away in this world, friends, family, I'll bring it back to you multitude. See? He'll bring you Christian brothers and friends. He'll bring you friends that'll bring you good things. You need to turn away from the evil. He wants them too, but you don't need them at that particular time in your life. You need friends that'll stick with you through hard times, good times. Amen? And that's what God did. And I was in there reading that, and my wife said, I don't know if she knocked on the door, but it's one of those, hey, you need to come see this. Still, I'm in here reading with my glasses off on the John, straining to read, because I got the Bible way up here to my eyes, lights bright. I'm straining to read this word, and I hear that voice, hey, you need to come see this. I'm like, you need to come help me try to see what I'm reading in here. But wisdom cries out. You need to come see this. And I came out of that bathroom. My wife was standing on the balcony, and I'm not sure what time. It was early in the morning, but the sun, it was early, right? Real early. Nobody on the beach, but one man and one woman that just by faith and by the grace of God stopped in front of the Royal Garden to take, however they wrote it, on the sand, big enough where a man up on the 10th floor with no glasses on could see it. 20th floor. It said, say yes to Jesus. I had that little brown plaque I just bought. See, God does these little things because he's got something big that he's wanting to work in your life. Sometimes when you're a baby Christian, you need something to kind of, if God shows you a cloud and it splits and you're believing God for something, it's just God will minister you. He'll meet you where you are, and he'll take you to places that a great, good, good Father wants to take you to. He saw me standing here today, but I was a long way from that, so he gave me something great. He gave me something that I can cherish, that I'll hang on to. No matter what trial comes in my life, if you just say, yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Three words. Pastor Jim Howard said, when you're a born-again Christian, filled with the Holy Ghost and get in the Word, there's three things. Marilyn Hickey told him, you're going to find yourself doing a lot in this world, is you're going to be saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for things I don't understand. You're asking, you're believing for wisdom. Thank you, Jesus, I've got the answer. Because, Lord, things are falling around. It don't look like things are falling in place, but keep saying, thank you, Jesus. Because he's working it out. He's bringing people to your place. He's going to bring people to you to help you out. You run to God, he sends the multitude out to you. He sends the multitude out to you. Amen? Amen. My son, and these are all in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 2, 1 through 9. You don't have to turn there. My son, if you will receive my words. See, if there's a qualifier. It's a choice. If you'll receive my words and hide my word within your heart, so that they'll incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yet if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her, talking about the wisdom, talking about Jesus, if you seek her as silver. I used to love to ride motorcycles. I still do, but I had all that, all these things I had before God. My motorcycle was before God. My money was before God. I'm talking about before Him. God wasn't even in the picture. See, God doesn't have a problem with us doing and having all these things as long as we bring Him into the midst of everything that we do. Because it says, the Bible says, it's His good pleasure to give us the kingdom. What is the kingdom? Righteousness and peace and joy. Where? In the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Spirit. That's family. Once you're in the family, I go out there and I ride to live and live to ride to let people know about this God that I serve. And see, but before that, I had all these things in front of God. And they were not bringing me pleasure. They were keeping me away from God. I didn't have His wisdom here. But if you seek her, seek this wisdom as silver, as much as you'd like to ride that motorcycle, Robert, as much as you'd like to do all the things that you love to do, get on that computer and do all these things, if you'll keep me first and search for me, as for hidden treasures, then you shall understand the fear of the Lord. Respect, honor of the Lord. Not to be scared of the Lord, to know Him and His Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And find the knowledge of God. You know, the Holy Spirit gave me my personal definition of what knowledge is. Knowledge, two words, break it down. Know and allege. Know where you stand with God, standing on that ledge. I'm no longer standing alone. I'm standing with Jesus. He's standing with me. We're side by side in this plan. And then life won't be a problem. Pastor Jim, Dr. Howard, he's ministering at Cabarrus Christian Fellowship this morning. Did I say that right? Roger Bird's church. And he put this on Facebook. It was a quote by Brother Spurgeon. It says, little faith will get you to heaven. Great faith will bring heaven to your soul. You need to hear that again. Little faith, Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, believe on me. Jesus said, believe on me. Believe on me. And all these things will be yours. Just believe that I am your Savior. But see, I believed in, that's where a lot of Christians are stuck right there. Not only does Jesus want to be your Savior, get you to heaven, great faith says, Lord, I want you in every part of my life. Be the Lord of my life. Great faith brings heaven to your soul in every area of your life. There's where they miss it. Lord, I just don't want you to be my Savior. I need wisdom on how to do this. I need to understand this, Lord. How to raise this child. How to feed this child. Lord, how to respect and honor my wife. That my father never showed me how to treat a lady. It's all in the Word. And I still got a lot He working on me. Amen. I don't know about you brothers, but I got a lot of things I still got to learn about women. And about kids. Amen. And teenagers. God knows us inside and out. He knows us. He created us. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. The righteous. The ones that has right standing with Him. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of judgment and preserves the ways of His saints. Then shall they understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Yea, every good path. See, that's, I found out life is a journey. Life's a journey. When I worked at Food Line for 5 years, I had a great crew that, you know, I ministered to them, we ministered to one another. But when I left, going to the next season in my life, they gave me a picture, and it's on there at my house. It's a frame, and you've probably seen it. It's the picture of this guy just running. Jesus has just got him in a bear hug, and he runs up to him. It's kind of like he's got him picked up off. He says, at the end of, during life's journey, In other words, Jesus is with me through this whole journey. And I got Uncle Mike's, I got his picture there from his funeral. Now I got Chris's pictures there. And I look at that, and that helps me go on in this life's journey, that we're to help others. Help the hurting, heal the wounded, and set the captives free. It's what I've heard through Word of Faith, through Spirit of Faith. And take this Word of God to the world, to a hurting world that needs to know about Jesus. Sons that need to know fathers, their Father in heaven loves them. You know, once my kids are raised, that's not the end. I'm believing for grandkids. But when we go out in the world, you don't have kids, be that mother, be that father that God has been to you. Stop. Remember, stop, smell the roses. Stop, look to those that need to have this relationship that you have, that I have. Take the time. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many. That's Proverbs 4:10-13. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall be straightened, and when thou runnest, you shall not stumble. Shall not stumble. You know, and I thought about this when I was in the book of Proverbs. This is Solomon. This is David's second son. Remember his first son, that him and Bathsheba, the child died. 7 days he was sick, and the child died because back then in the Old Testament, the sins of the fathers was passed down through the sins of the children. You know what Solomon, his name means? Nathan, the word is Jedediah, his name, Jedediah. We call him Solomon, beloved of the Lord. That child that didn't make it, see, they just passed that name on to the next child. But see, God loved, that child that died was beloved of the Lord. All this wisdom, see, God wanted this for that first child. And he's no respecter of persons, so God took everything that he had. See, David, that was his seed, that was his child that was born and then died. And David said, after the child pronounced him dead, he'd fasted and prayed, wanting God to, he had already repented, wanted this child to live. Yeah. Now see, this is where wisdom comes in. We are not God. God knows the end from the beginning. Wisdom speaks. God wanted that child to live too. But had that child lived with David being king of all of Israel, he is the leader. They find out what David did. Adulterer, murderer. Murdered Bathsheba's husband. Took him, put him out there to have him killed in front battle. The king did this to cover up his sin. When somebody found that cover up and got it out, you know what this child would feel? Had this child grown? That would be something that child would drag for his whole life. Yeah, your daddy had an affair. You king, you know, all these things. See, God's seen all that ridicule, all that hurt, all that pain. He said, I'm going to receive this one to me, David, but I'm going to give you another one. Jack, they got married. They come into covenant relationship, David and Bathsheba. They did it right, righteousness. They did it the right way, God's way. This child became the wisest and richest king that ever was and ever will be. That represents Jesus. Jesus. He's the wisest king that ever has and ever will be. He's an everlasting father. See, sometimes we don't understand tragedy, but if we'll understand that God loves us and that was not his plan, but I'll work things out if you'll trust me, son. I'll help you through this if you'll trust me. I'll help you through this thing. Amen. That's what God has did to me. That's what my father has helped me. Can I tell you everything in my life I understand? No. But I do know that God is for me and he's not against me. And I can tell you that Sunday standing there with my nephew in front of me that anointing, just God's ability to be able to stand there and tell people how much God loves them and Jesus died for them, that made me feel real honored that I could represent the God, the Father, that gave His life for me to other people, to other families that were hurting. There was all my emotions were all in a knot. But God, He just, for a short period of time, He took all that away from me so I could clearly give out of my heart what He gave me. Because those emotions came back. Amen. They're going to come. And that's good. You need to let things out. You need to talk to God. You need to cry. You need to let these emotions out. Because one day there's coming a time, the Bible says, He's going to wipe every tear away. So He's saying, you're going to cry. You're going to have some tears. But your Father God, I'm going to wipe every tear away from you. I'm going to put that devil, he's going to burn in the lake of fire forever. Not people. There's people that if they don't serve Jesus, they'll be there. But that devil is going to reap what he sowed forever in a burning fire. But those who know their God and Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we're going to live forever. And he's going to wipe every tear away. We're going to be family forever. We're going to do what we want to do. And we're going to have eternity to figure it out by and by. Because we don't know it all. He's got so much more for us. Amen? Amen. He's a good, good Father. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And it takes knowing Him, knowing His heart, knowing His Son, Jesus Christ, and having a relationship with Him, and then submitting our will to His will, and let the Holy Spirit reveal God to us every day, every second. Proverbs 4:20-23, my son, Proverbs 4:20-23, my son, attend to my words. Attention, that means show up. Show up and take this, not a religious thought. It's not just church. See, you're the church. When God speaks, just give attention. Listen to what he's saying. Do what he says. Act on what he says, and you'll live a long, prosperous life. His way is the right way. His path is a good path. It's a shining path. The steps of the Lord, my steps have been ordered, but I've got to submit to those steps. Attend to my words. Son, attend to my words. Show up. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes, but keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep them in the midst. Say yes to Jesus. When I say that, it's not just for me. It's something God did powerfully for me that he wants to do to everybody. If they'll just say yes to Jesus, say yes to what he's saying. Yes. It'll take you to places that he has for you. But you got to say yes. So many people are saying, no, I don't want that. But I don't want religion either. Religion will cost you something. A relationship with Jesus will bring you something. It'll bring you life. It'll bring you peace. It'll bring you comfort. Amen. It'll bring you joy. In the midst of your trial, it'll bring you joy. Yes. And you know what? That joy, it's probably going to be shed in tears. Tears of joy. Yes. Knowing that, man, something's good coming out of this. Tears of joy. Keep these words, for they are life. Say life. They are life unto those that find them, and their health to all your flesh. Medicine. It's like a medicine bottle. God's word. Keep your heart. Guard your heart, Mark. Guard it. Guard the word, the God's word that you put in there, Michelle. You guard it. You stand at attention like a guard, like they stand at the cemeteries there for the veterans. And you guard it. You don't let nobody come there and dishonor that word or disrespect that word. No, you guard your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart flows the issues of life. And when you honor God's word and you do that and you speak that, he honors you in your finances, in your family, in your children's children. Armor of faith. Never take it off. Never. And see, you can sleep, but God never sleeps. So when you lay down, Father, I thank you. See, you're bringing him into that situation. I thank you as I lay down. Tragedy is going around in the world. Lord, I lift him people up. But the Bible says, 1,000 shall fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. But it's not coming near my house, because I trust you that you never sleep. You've got angels watching over and protecting me and my family. Amen. Wherever they are, wherever they go, planes, trains, automobiles, it don't matter. you're there. That's what the prophet saw. He saw chariots of fire. He said, Lord, open up my servant's eyes. I pray that your eyes be opened up. Fathers, that your eyes be opened up. Protect your families. Protect your children. And the only way you can securely do that is to have a covenant relationship with God Almighty. Because where your protection stops, His just keeps on going. Amen? Because He is omniscient. He is everywhere. Omnipotent. He's got all the power you need. All the power that we need. Amen? He's a good, good Father. He's a good, good Father. I believe everybody in this place is saved and born again. There's going to be a song Kelsey's going to play, and it just ministered to me this week. We're going to play that song, and then there's other people that's going to hear this message. See, I heard Faith on the radio by Jim Howard. I've never seen the man, but see, God works things out. If we'll just be willing, Lord, I need your help. Lord, you'll turn on the radio. You'll go to the beach. Somebody will write something in the sand. If you'll just be, attend to my word. See, your blessing is where you're supposed to be. Your miracle is where you're supposed to be. Linda Hansen says her heart's, she's got a manifestation. She's got a new heart because she had that training and she believed. And the guy prayed for her. She said, I'm not struggling anymore. She said, I got my new heart. She testified Wednesday of that. She said, I got my heart. She's got a pacemaker, but she says she's got strengths that she didn't have before. She's believing by faith. She's got her manifestation. She was where she's supposed to be, doing the work of the ministry. Praise God. Amen. To all the fathers out there listening to this message, because we're supposed to take this gospel to the world, right? My prayer and desire for you is that you would experience the same revelation of how much our Father in heaven loves us all the same, and that is unconditionally. He's not looking at your past. He's looking at your future. And if you call out to Him, run to Him, your future is as bright as the noonday sun. That same God that Paul experienced. Amen. So if you would, I want us to pray together. You're out there and you need Jesus. He is right here. The Bible says, the word is near thee. The word that we speak, it's in our heart and it's in our mouth. This is the word that we speak. You don't have to be here at an altar at a church. It's just you need to be in a relationship. You need to say, Lord, I need you. Wherever you are, all you got to do is ask Jesus, call out for help. Call upon His name. Tell Him you need help. Tell Him you're lost. Tell Him you're sinking. Whatever your situation is, fathers, just cry out to Jesus. Just say yes to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I need you. I need a Father. I need a Savior. I need a Lord. And He hears. He hears the heart cries of all of His children. And He is waiting. He's waiting patiently. God sent His Son to die on that cross, to bleed, and give His life freely so that we could freely live. That blood is still powerful. It's still strong, and it's still ministering. So if you're lost, today's the day to come home. If you're sick, today's the day to be healed. If you're grieving, today's the day to say, weeping shall endure for the night, but joy shall come in the morning. Jesus is the bright and morning sun. If you got Jesus, your morning is going to be turned to joy, because He's going to see to it that it does. He's going to bring you joy. He's going to bring things. He's going to bring people in your life that's going to bring you joy. If you trust in Him. 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 He's a loving Father. So Father, we just thank You right now. All those that have reached out, not in this church, but have heard this message and are reaching out right now, Lord, I thank You right now for Your mighty power being released right now, Father God. Your word is alive. We thank You for that soul right now reaching out, being changed, being born again by the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank You for those, Lord, that are sick and healing and hearing this message, Lord, for healing coming to them right now by faith in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, Lord. You said your word. Send your word in your servant, the centurion said. Just speak the word only, and your servant will be healed. I thank you, Father God. There's power in your word. There's power in the gospel. And I thank you right now, Father God, that we are releasing our faith on this message, on faith on our word, that these fathers, their lives are going to be changed. Their families are going to be changed. Their sons are going to be changed. Their daughters are going to be changed. And Lord, we're all going to be changed one day when this life is over. In a twinkling of an eye, our bodies are going to be renewed. It's going to be glorified. And then forever and ever, we'll sing praises unto you in heaven forever. But until then, Lord, we need help down here on this earth. And we thank you, Father God, for the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ. We got some good news, Lord. We got some good news. There is help. It's available. And Lord, Father, our militaries have suffered a tragic loss this week, Father God, with that crash. To our sailors, to our families right now, Lord, they gave their lives protecting ours. And Father, we lift up all our armed forces serving for us right now. Lord, we call Psalms 91 into their lives right now for protection over them as they serve, as they go out, Lord, that you open up the eyes. You open up the eyes of our intelligence, Lord, that they're able to see the enemies, their tactics, Lord, and keep them safe out there serving our country. Lord, we thank you for our president, Father God. We call him blessed and protected. We call that wisdom, Lord, that anointing that's upon him, Father God, to tear down those high places that have been brought before our country, to continue to tear them down, those places, those high places of evil. That, Lord, we put you back in top of this nation, Father God. We put you first in America. The love that passes all understanding, the peace that passes all understanding. And we say thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you need personal ministry this morning,